Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for our Mission Impossible. What are we calling it again?
The Mopotha Palooza.
Yes.
Correct.
The Cruise-a-thon?
Yes.
Cruise control. Cruising for a bruising. Tom Cruise is going to kick you with a weird kick.
You cruise, you lose.
That's good.
And by you cruise, I mean you don't leave a like. So leave a like and you don't lose.
Please, if you could. Now, this series is obviously called Caravan of Garbage. People know that from the title of this video. And often we're like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just the name that we got stuck with. This week, it means, I think it's very apt.
What are you saying, James?
I'm saying this is easily the worst Mission Impossible movie, and a lot of it is just garbage.
What are we talking about?
Oh, we're doing Mission Impossible 2.
See, what I've done there
Yes. Is
I've taken the Mission Impossible theme, but I've given it a little twist. Because this ain't your grandpappy's Mission Impossible.
It certainly
isn't. Mission Impossible 2, directed by Woo. John Woo.
They brought him on board because Tom Cruise wanted that John Woo flavor. And we sort of get it.
Well, that's the thing because, I mean, for people who are aware of John Woo, he did like some amazing Hong Kong action movies. He did The Killer. He did A Better Tomorrow. He did Hard Boiled. And then he came to America. Like, he sort of pioneered in the West this kind of genre of like Hong Kong, gun-fu, like operatic,
Hard
cinematic.
Hard Target,
yeah.
Face-Off.
Broken Arrow, he did those ones.
Rock and Arrow.
And he sort of brought this idea of like, just this like balletic gunplay, like two-gun action. It's just brutal and you just empty a whole clip into the bad guy kind of thing.
Max Payne!
Yeah, like this idea, and it influenced like a whole genre of other, it influenced a whole generation of other filmmakers. The Matrix is sort of based heavily on this idea, and that spawned a million imitators. And, you know, again,
he did Paycheck. Ugh. Sorry, go on.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, at a certain point, like, he did Face Off, which is, you know, people find it fun in a kind of cheesy way. But by this point, all his rough edges have kind of been sanded off. Upon watching this movie begins with a kind of, like, you know, your classic Mission Impossible espionage, masks are being taken off kind of vibe.
Sure.
But it also begins with a totally silent neck snap.
Like, yes,
almost an off-screen neck snap. And I'm watching this at the cinema, I'm like, no, something's gone wrong here.
Yeah.
Like something is kind of...
Because you thought Ethan Hunt had gone rogue.
Well, I did think that.
Well, which he does in every movie except this one, actually. But yeah.
Well, he does go rogue eventually. He takes his earpiece out. Oh. 1 hour, 45 minutes. Goes rogue, takes the earpiece
out.
See,
I wasn't sure whether it was actually him going rogue or he was actually like, no, this isn't really working very well. Because, I couldn't tell whether he was...
Okay, jury's still out on whether he went rogue in this movie.
Let us
That's
know
fine.
If you think he went rogue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this movie, it doesn't hold up. And you even see from the start the CGI plane, the fashion choices like the sunglasses.
The beautiful CGI title sequence.
Oh, exactly. Like, I know you've got things to say about the cars because it's a very Aussie movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you get your shots of like the Sydney Opera House and like kangaroos in the outback and shit.
Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney.
Not something I'd ever thought I'd say, but there it is. This movie, it's got all the elements of John Woo's style, but it's not quite right. It's got like two-gun action and people slowly walking through flames.
Birds and doves,
exactly. Yeah. But none of it quite works, and I don't know why.
Because it's got sort of kung fu, sort of, I guess?
Well, I was going to say, who is this Ethan Hunt? Like, if you've just watched the first one and you go to this one, he's shooting, he's spinning, he's somersault kicking.
Yeah.
Like, he won't just duck for cover when he can do a little twirl and then duck for cover. Like,
he does,
he's a different guy in this.
He doesn't... he does a commando roll towards a little grate in the floor at one point. I don't know if you remember
that
bit.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the kicks he does. Oh, look, Tom Cruise is amazing at what he does, but he's not a martial artist. I'm sure we're going to refer to this particular scene every week.
We're going to eat our words when he hears this and immediately becomes the world's greatest martial artist. So thanks for that, but continue.
But his style of combat is more suited to the bathroom scene from the last Mission Impossible movie. Uh-huh. You know, it's breaking tiles and faces. But when you're getting him to do like a 2-foot jump kick and a spinning roundhouse handstand,
yes,
it's ridiculous. They uh-huh. should call this movie Kickin' Impossible, Mason.
Nice.
Thanks.
That's good stuff.
That's actually for the extended audio. Did you ever see the Ben Stiller behind the scenes thing?
Oh,
he actually
right.
calls it. I stole that from Ben Stiller.
Oh my God. Well, I'm going to call it Hair Flipping Impossible. Because every somersault kick is just comes with a beautiful swoosh of hair. We'll talk about hair later.
We talk about hair at the end. And also, of course, every week I am going to be attempting to replicate something from each movie.
Somersault kick?
Definitely not. I'm not going to spoil it here.
You got a trampoline out there. What are you doing?
I've got something even better. People are going to love it. Trust me. If I do it, because maybe I'll edit this out.
I'm excited for it.
But yeah, absolutely. So it does have this distinct Aussie flavor. It's got Powderfinger, a famous Australian band, did a song on the album.
At one point, Tandy Newton goes to the horse races and puts a crisp pineapple on the horse.
That's right.
Naturally vain. It's good to see some Australian hard currency in these movies. Our ridiculous, stupid plastic money.
Hey, you can swim with it, and that's why they did it this way. John Paulson is Billy Barr.
He is the founder of Tropfest.
Is he?
Australia's largest, and maybe the world's largest, short film festival.
There you go.
Apparently that role was originally going to be taken by Steve Zahn, but he had to pull out at the last minute.
Not Aussie enough?
Probably. Yeah.
He had to do Sahara in 5 years from this.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, he would have been a good choice, yeah. I mean, the soundtrack, okay, speaking of, you mentioned up top. I'm not against the guitar riffing in the Limp Bizkit cover.
Yeah.
It's lyrically, it's the worst song ever made, you know?
I get it. Yeah,
I think there's the classic Mission Impossible theme in a rock and guitar riff. I think it absolutely works.
But there is a reason that none of the lyrics actually make it into the actual film.
Exactly,
they're only in the
end
credits. Yeah, but that...
Remember rap rock?
Those are Wes Ball and guitar licks. They're,
oh my goodness.
They're very impressive.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned how it was John Woo with the edges sanded off. And I might actually have an explanation for that.
Go on.
Because his original cut for this was 3.5 hours.
Oh my God.
I know. And it had to be cut down to about 2. And Tom Cruise apparently, and this is all like hearsay and IMDb trivia, locked him out of the editing room. So
Tom Cruise locked him out? Wait.
Well, he would have had more creative control because he's choosing who's on it.
And he's the producer, yeah.
Yeah. I think Tom Cruise saw the action of Face Off, genuinely. Uh-huh. I think he only saw Face Off and went, faces, masks, kicks, doves. Yeah, all right, this is the guy.
This
is the guy. I think that's the train of thought here.
Mm, right.
Yeah. There's also a few...
And you think Tom Cruise, like, kind of sanitized it a bit.
I don't
know. And again, there doesn't necessarily need to be... Like, all the other Mission Impossible movies prove that these movies don't need, like, excess blood and gore and all that sort of stuff.
You can have a silent neck snap.
Yeah, but I think,
like a swift wind.
No, but I don't think you can. I think the essential element of a John Woo movie is just it's really just visceral.
Yeah.
And there's no holding back in the action. And I think putting him at the helm of this movie and then asking him to cut out all the exciting stuff is probably its downfall. And it looks less like visceral action and more like attempted cool posing.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
I mean, because if... Speaking of, if you look at like the rock climbing, for example, first of all, Tom Cruise did all of that himself. He was taught how to do it. They got stunt guys, but he did it. He was cabled up, but he did that 15-foot jump like multiple times. But that's the only scene that really stands out for me because there's a cable drop that looks worse than the previous movie.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
There's a side-by-side car chase, which is reminiscent of GoldenEye, really, where they're just chatting casually to each other over revving engines going 90.
I mean, we often accuse the James Bond series of aping more successful action movies, but I feel like this movie especially has sort of done that as well. It's kind of like aped better stuff. Like The Matrix came out the year before, and I think there's elements of that
totally.
Just sort of shoehorned in.
Did you like it when the two cars were wedged together and they were spinning in a circle and they were staring into each other's eyes?
Yes.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. This is also...
He nearly killed her, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Tandy Newton got a real rough deal in this movie.
There's been
a very recent interview with her because she's in Westworld and a bunch of other TV series and movies and things. But yeah, this was a very intense experience for her, apparently.
Well, there's even lines like Anthony Hopkins, who I want to get back to, where they make her go undercover and he's like, she's deceptive and she doesn't need any spy trading because she's a woman and this is what women, they naturally lie. But she's mentioned, that it was like a stress-induced nightmare. And Tom Cruise was like friendly but super intense. And she was under a lot of pressure and she was quite young at the time. And she's even said since then, like, she doesn't blame him in particular.
It was a very Tom Cruise kind of situation be in earlier in your career. Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly it, yeah. So Anthony Hopkins, he's in this, he doesn't turn bad or die, and then we never see him again in another movie.
Isn't he in three?
No.
Huh.
It's a strange inclusion.
Yeah. And it's not even really clear that he's in IMF, really. No.
Or where he's from.
Yeah.
Because he's at some point I'm like, is he doing an American accent? No, no. Wait, did I mishear that?
Oh, side note. Australia's own Richard Roxburgh. It was 45 minutes in before I realised he's supposed to be South African.
He's supposed to be South African, yes. So this is interesting. I found this super fascinating. Ian McKellen turned down the Anthony Hopkins role, and this shoot actually ran long because of rainfall. And if he did take on this role, even though it was only like a 5-day shoot, he would have missed out on both Lord of the Rings and X-Men.
You have another piece of trivia there. I'm going to tell you what it is, James.
I would love to hear it.
Speaking of X-Men trivia, Dougray Scott.
The anti-Ethan Hunt.
That's right, reverse Ethan Hunt. It's a team, but they're the opposite team. What's he going to do? Get a team together to fight? The teams can fight. He turned down the role of Wolverine, right, to be in this.
Well, he had, not initially, but this ran long.
Right.
He got injured in a motorcycle chase. Uh-huh. They kept kind of delaying it and pushing back and being like, no, he'll be ready or whatever. And then the X-Men producers had to go, We need to recast.
Wow.
And that's obviously the role that Hugh Jackman was shot into stardom.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he might still be doing paperback hero sequels at this point, if not for...
I feel like Hugh Jackman's the kind of actor that probably would have made it regardless.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's, yeah.
But I'm not sure...
Oh, I'm saying the paperback hero franchise would have been the biggest franchise in the world. I'm just saying he would have just
I wish we were doing those every week.
Right?
Yeah. He writes a different romance novel every...
Yep. That's
whatever,
right.
Yeah. But I think Hugh Jackman would have survived, but Dougray Scott's career has obviously not taken off in the same way.
Mm.
And who knows, if he was Wolverine, who knows what would have happened? Maybe he would have been like, he's fine.
Yeah. You
know, we don't know. Maybe he would have crushed it and maybe it would have been him in the movie Australia. Maybe
That's right.
He would have been the greatest showman.
Oh my God. Can
maybe
you
he's
imagine?
Hosting the Oscars with Anne Hathaway.
Man, maybe he's saying the musical is back. When the musical was maybe probably not back.
It's never gone, but it's never quite back.
That's right.
It's like a low hum, you know what I mean,
yeah,
in the background.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes I can hear the people sing.
Knife in the eye. That's a pretty good stunt. Remember
now,
knife in the
real,
eye?
That's some sort of
it's attached
waist
to,
system.
That's right. It's attached to things. A cable with Dougray Scott pressing down as hard as he can.
Right.
And it's like measured out to stop just in front of his retina. If that's the front of your eye, iris. I don't know a lot about eyes.
Retina's at the back. If
it was,
going to stop just before his retina. Oh, boy.
My understanding of stunt stuff, and I think I saw this on the corridor.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A crew channel. If you've got a knife, right,
yes,
and you're pretending to press it down under somebody, what you're supposed to be doing is you're pulling away while the person who's being stabbed is pulling forward. So you see the tension.
Yeah, right.
But
right,
if there's like a slip, it gets pulled back. Oh, so it's strange to me that they didn't do that, as opposed to it being on a cable and just dropping it down, right? You could have done that in reverse.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? There's a number of ways you could do it without...
They chose to go, hey, Dougray Scott, this knife is going to plunge directly into Tom Cruise's eye unless you pull back with all your muscles.
Yeah. I know you've mentioned this before on our podcast, The Weekly Planet, which is a podcast that we do, Mason.
That's right.
There's a digital camera in this the size of a brick.
Oh, my God, is there?
What's fascinating about that inclusion is in the previous movie, they're all wearing glasses with miniature cameras in it.
That's right.
And they're hidden and they're super HD.
Exactly.
And they can transmit across.
But that was the magic technology of like movie espionage.
Yeah.
And we had nothing at all similar to that. But all of a sudden in like the late 90s, the year 2000, all of a sudden we get actual digital cameras and they're like, my God, we have to showcase this in a movie somehow.
It's ridiculous. Also, it's Mask City, mate. It's too much.
Yeah.
And I know they take it a little bit further in terms of like the voice modulator.
Uh-huh.
But there's things in this that it's too far. And they pull back on later movies and there's more explanation behind the printing of them and things like that. But it's just everybody and anybody at all points in time. And that doesn't look quite as good a lot of the time.
Yeah.
There's one where Tom Cruise is running and, you know, he pulls it off. Which, and some of them look better than that.
At one point, Tandy Newton reveals her secret relationship with Ethan Hunt to what she believes is Ethan Hunt. And then it turns out it's evil Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't have happened. In a world where masks are so commonplace, Ethan Hunt should have absolutely said to her, I'm going to send you undercover. FYI, everybody's going to be a bad guy with a me mask on.
That's right.
So don't reveal anything.
Exactly.
If you suspect it might not be me, tug at the edges of my shirt collar
until
my face comes off.
Or kiss it.
Even if it is me, just keep tugging at my face until it comes off.
If you kiss that mask, you're knowing it's a mask, right?
You'd hope so,
are they heated? They go over the lips? I guess they do, right?
I guess they're heated by Tom Cruise's passion for movie making and stunts.
No doubt.
So, yeah, so you'd never know.
To be fair,
if anything, that mask could be too hot.
But I don't mind the one reveal of when he swaps himself out for Richard Roxburgh and he's taped up his mouth. And I think
that's a good reveal.
I think you do that one and maybe the one at the start.
Yeah, you have to do a setup and then like an enforcement and then a reveal. But to do one every couple of scenes is too much. Yeah.
It's too much, mate.
Leave it. Use it sparingly so it makes the most impact, like Dougray Scott wearing a full denim suit. And then it's impactful. That's the one thing I remember from watching this movie in the cinema. I'm like, wow, everything he's wearing is made of denim. The shirt's denim, the jacket's denim, the tie's denim. Good on him. That must be hot in Sydney in the summer.
I'd imagine it would be, especially around bloody racing time, am I right? If it's racing season.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting up November at that point, aren't you?
That's right.
In Australia, it's reversed, the summer and winter. Don't even worry about it if you're in the other hemisphere. Before I talk about the evolution of Ethan Hunt's hair.
Of course, the most important part of this episode.
Is there anything you want to add?
Yes, James.
Okay.
Boy, is there. Again, a thing that I didn't think about when I watched this in the cinemas, but in rewatching it as an adult, there's a car chase sequence, and my God, is it suburban Australia. Like these days, if you watch like a multi-million dollar action spectacular, there's a car chase, the good guys being pursued by all the bad guys. The bad guy's motorcade is guaranteed to be a line of identical all-black, brand-new Audi SUVs.
Yep.
Just loaded with men with machine guns and maybe some
There's
like...
eight men to a car.
Exactly. And then maybe like some brand-new motorcycles with people wielding katanas or whatever.
Yes.
But in the year 2000, in suburban and outer suburban and slightly regional New South Wales...
Yeah.
Clearly, they couldn't acquire the brand new motors that they needed. And so what this is it's just a car chase where Ethan Hunt on his motorcycle is being pursued by men driving all your friends' first secondhand cars in the 90s. Just like you're just your mate, the first car your mate got and went, it's a pretty cool car, right? And you're like, yeah, mate, yeah, pretty
really
pretty good. I'm pretty sure they acquired all these cars by just going to a McDonald's parking lot like after midnight. We're just all these dudes milling around. I was like, hey, anybody want to sell this your car? We'll give you $500 for it. They're like, all right. It's just Tom Cruise just absolutely machine gunning the fuel tank of a Holden Commodore. There's just Ford Falcons, just Ford Escorts, the Holden Vectra. At one point, the bad guys are driving a Nissan Patrol. That's more your dad's car, I
sure,
feel.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
My God, it's just, it's so quaint.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
It really is. It really captures a period in time, doesn't it? Yeah.
Just whatever cars they picked up at the impound
absolutely.
Lot that nobody picked up themselves were like, I can't be bothered.
Two of the tires are bald, but it's not like on the same side. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how it happened. Doing a particular doughy maybe in a some car park.
Some of the cars have that like weird salt spattering on the roof. You know, haven't been polished in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What an era.
Yeah.
What an era of filmmaking. I don't think I've seen anything like it before or since.
Right?
Maybe the movie Two Hands?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's meant to be set
that's supposed to be
low-class suburban Sydney. That's not set in a world of like high-class espionage and millionaires and millionaire mansions, you know what I mean?
If you're dropping pineapple...
That man has a painting with a dinghy on it in his mansion. He's high class.
If you're dropping pineapples at the races, you should shell out for some better cars.
I think so.
Absolutely. Okay, so the evolution of Ethan Hunt's hair. We're here again. He's more loosey-goosey in this movie, and I think it's because he's moved further and further away from his military past. He's clearly been doing some training, and he's clearly kind of more kind of relaxed into his role, and his hair reflects that.
I think you're right, and I think maybe, you know, again, he swore he'd never come back to the IMF. In the last one.
Did he?
Yeah, kind of. He's like, I'm not coming back. And Bing Rames is like, you sure? And he's like, definitely, never again. And then the sequel, and he's like, no, I'm
but at the end,
back.
On the plane, and they're like, look at this tape.
Oh my God, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, I think, and they've offered him a sweet deal to come back. I think he couldn't resist.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, you know what? He's going, he spent a few years doing deep cover IMF stuff, and he's like, well, a deep cover dude needs a deep cover haircut.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. What's also strange about that is when they find him on top of that mountain, they're like, tell us where you are when you go on holidays. But then Anthony Hopkins is like, you're on holidays. That's okay. So I'm confused as to, is he supposed to say where he is?
What you're saying is that the IMF annual leave policy is not as clear cut as it should be.
Exactly. I'm sure it's written somewhere. Like, they've jotted it down in ink. There needs to be a refresher weekend so everybody's on the same,
exactly.
on the same page.
They probably don't even tell him how many, like, days of accrued leave he has on his payslip.
Accrued leave?
Oh.
That's right.
Very good.
Yeah. So, anyway, here's some facts for trivia that you'll love. It's called Trivia Facts That You'll Love.
Mm.
You'll love it. We do it every week.
Nice.
This blew my mind, the biggest movie of 2000 monetarily in the world.
My goodness.
It beat Gladiator. It beat Shaft 2000. Can you believe that?
I can kind of believe that.
The number 38 movie of the year, Shaft 2000, it came ahead of. I mean, this is a big franchise, but I didn't realize it was this big that long ago.
Mm.
Yeah, fascinating to me. Also, each director in this franchise has been asked to return for the sequel. They saw what Brad Bird did and they went, oh my God, Brad Bird, we love what you're doing. Come back. And he's like, I can't, I'm Brad Bird. And
right.
I went, we don't know what that means, but we understand.
I'm doing Brad Bird things. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but, you know, you're Brian De Palma's, you're J.J. Abrams, but they didn't ask John Woo to come back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Also, and this is very interesting to me.
You know what? He's got a great legacy, though. Go back and watch The Killer.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a primo movie.
That cannot be denied.
Mm.
Can they skip over Paycheck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even think about Paycheck. God.
I've thought about it.
Oh, it's too late for you then.
The song I Disappear by Metallica that's on the soundtrack for this movie, I think it's a good song.
You would.
Lars has talked about how he met up with Tom Cruise and they had a very intense discussion about music and what it means and all those guys. You know, what are those discussions you'd have with Tom Cruise? And he got to see an early unfinished version of the movie to kind of write a song. And actually, this song was leaked early on Napster. And that's what started the famous Napster versus Metallica court case, which changed the music industry.
That's right.
Yeah, so... there you go.
My goodness.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence about whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, the way that music was kicked off then, because artists are getting screwed royally.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, for what they're doing. And it does seem to stem back from from this. I mean, you've got more access now than ever to get your information and, you know, get your music out there, but you're getting paid less.
It's the relentless march of technology, James. It was going to happen sooner or later.
That's right.
If you want to support your artists, go get some merch, buy something on vinyl. You know
exactly
what I mean? That's right.
See him on tour when you can, not now. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah. The other thing is, with his percentage deal on profits, royalties, and merchandise, what are they selling there?
Foam hats, trucker hats.
Trucker hats, yeah. Little action figures.
Yeah,
cool, excellent.
Somersault play sets for your kids. Somersault kick play sets.
You get the Rock background.
That's right.
Tom Cruise made 75.
Oh, exploding Oakleys.
Yes. Tom Cruise made $75 million off this movie.
Good for him.
And now it's time for me to replicate something famous and impossible from the movie Mission Impossible 2, MI2, which it maybe is also called.
Nice.
The clothes, Mason. I don't know. Yeah, you'll see it.
Well, we did it this time. I mean, he purchased some clothes, I guess, what he did, and put them on.
That's what people remember, though, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
You want me to do a cartwheel kick?
Yes.
Fine, here it is.
Wow.
All right, this has been Mission Impossible 2 for Caravan of Garbage.
What an experience.
Definitely. We'll be back next week to talk Mission Impossible 3. But guess what? If you want to get that video a little bit early, you can actually go to bigsandwich.co, sign up. You also get the extended audio editions early as well. There's also some bonus podcasts, some movie commentaries. There's an ad-free feed for our podcast, The Weekly Planet, which also comes out every Monday. If you do want to check it out, you don't have to, but you can.
That's right.
That's right. And you might be thinking, that doesn't sound like great value. That's really up to you to determine, isn't it?
Isn't it? But I mean, in a way, there's the only way to figure that out is to subscribe and discover for yourself.
Exactly.
We gotcha,
because you're invested there, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, I've been and am Mr. Mm-hmm. Sunday Movies on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
I continue to be Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
That's right. And let's come back next week for Mission Impossible Throuple.
As we say here every week, bury us when we're gone. Teach us while we're here, but as soon as we belong, it's time we disappear.
Do you think there's a chance that we replicated that song so well that the music copyright system in YouTube kicked in and this video has been demonetized?
God, we can only hope.
That's the dream for any musician.
Right?
All right, see you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.